All right, good morning, Village Church. My name is Jake, and I get the privilege today to walk us through the end of 1 John. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 21. So if you want to grab the Bibles in front of you, we'll read those all the verses in its entirety, and then we'll pray, and then we'll start. So starting in verse 13, it says, I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have before Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears whatever we ask, that we know that we have asked of Him, if anyone sees his fellow believer committing sin, that does not lead to death, he should ask, and God will give him life to him. To those who commit sin that doesn't lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that we should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not sin, but the one who is born of God keeps him. And the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come, and He has given us understanding so that we may know the true one. We are in the true one, that is, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God of eternal life. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. Let us pray before we begin. God, we just come here today just to honor you, to glorify you, to lift you up. Lord, allow these words to speak to us. Lord, allow us to understand what it is that you're saying. Lord, just allow us to love you more and more each day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'm going to start today, since we got the kids in here, with a little story. Some of it will sound familiar. I'm sure a few of you guys have heard a similar story to this, but it's a story about a God that created a world, created everything in it, all the animals, the water, the land, and then He created people in His image. They may have been created in His image, but because of free will, they brought into their life sin. And because of this, sin entered into the world. Sin to us is death. So to cleanse ourselves from sin, what they had to do is they had to take sacrifices, offer them up to God. For every single sin we did, everything we committed, that's how they had to do it. It's not an easy way. They had laws given to them by Moses. There was 10 commandments given to them to follow. But yet not one person on this earth could do it except for one. Because you see, God loves His people. And He wanted an easier way, a better way for us to be able to spend eternal life with Him. So He makes the ultimate sacrifice and sends His Son down here. Sends His Son to be born of a virgin. Father was a carpenter. To be raised by them, just like we would have been raised here on earth as well. He lives life like we do now. He has friends. As He grows up, He has 12 close friends that He makes. He disciples them, spends time with them. Talks about God, talks about things they've never heard of, things they don't necessarily understand. But He's trying to pave a way for everyone to come. See, this man did not sin while he was down here. He was fully God, yes, but he's also fully man while he was here. But to be the ultimate sacrifice, to die on that cross, he could not sin. There could be no blemish on him to take away all of our sin. One of his 12 friends betrays him, hands him over. They beat him, they torture him, they hang him on a cross, and they kill him. It's then he takes all of our sin, washes it clean with himself. But that wasn't enough, because 3 days later he rose again to show that he could conquer death. That sin was not too great for him to take on, to conquer it, come back to life, and then go see his Father once again in heaven. See, I start today with telling you guys the story of the gospel, because I think you guys need to understand and at least hear it before we dive into verse 13. So if you will, open with me, and we'll read verse 13 again. It says, I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you know that you have eternal life. See, to know the name of the Son of God is to know the Word of God, which means you need to know the gospel, Jesus' story. How can you know someone that you haven't got to learn their story, who he is, what he's done for each and every one of us? So it says, believe in the name, which is believe in the Word of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Have confidence in the gospel. Because have confidence in the gospel means that you know where you're going in the end. There's no doubt in your mind when you have confidence in the gospel, when you have confidence in Jesus, that he will carry us to heaven with him. This confidence leads on, as we'll see here in verses 14 and 15, confidence in prayer. Read with me. This is the confidence we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. There needs to be some confidence in prayer when we talk to God. Now I've got four little applications or four things to point out that kind of give us the purpose in prayer, the secret power of what we need to say to God. These aren't mine that I thought up. I took them from a lot wiser man, a lot wiser preacher than myself, by the guy named David Guzik. He's one of the guys I usually get a lot of my commentary from. But he lists four things that these kind of just stand out that we need to be thinking through in our confidence when we pray to God. Number one, we cannot be afraid to just ask. A lot of times we pray to God and we assume since he knows everything, we don't have to ask everything. He knows our hearts. But that does not mean that he doesn't want us to ask. He doesn't want us to tell him about our day. There's nothing too little or too big for him. So do not be afraid to ask of God. Number two, God would have us ask anything in prayer. That's not implying that anything that we ask for will be granted. But anything in the sense that we can and should pray for everything. God cares about each individual one of you guys. He cares about every big part of your life to the smallest part of your life. He just wants you to talk to him about it. So do not be afraid to ask for anything when you pray with God. Do not be afraid to tell him about the smallest part of your day to the biggest part of your day. Just number three here, it says, God would have us ask according to his will. You see, when we abide in Jesus living in us, our day by day will start to become more and more like him. Our will become more aligned with his will. Our passions what we like to do will be God's desires. We will share the desires that God has for each and every one of us. Which leads me to number four. God is delighted when we pray His promises. Shows that we are aligned with Him. Shows that we depend on Him. It shows that we take His word seriously. If God promises something to us like He does here, verses 14 and 15, that if we pray according to His will happen. Do not be afraid to ask God. You promised that this would happen. If this is according to your will, it will happen. Be confident in your prayers with Him. He excites when we ask stuff He's promised of us. That means we are in His Word, reading and understanding what it is that He has to say. So my first application, just to think about through, is to have confidence in the gospel. Have confidence in your prayers. Don't be afraid that God's not listening or it's too small of a thing. Be confident when you pray with God. Let's continue here in verses 16 and 17. It says, if anyone sees a fellow believer committing sin that does not lead to death, he should ask and God will give him life. And to those that commit sin that does not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin that doesn't lead to death. What does John tell us to do? The first thing we need to do when we see a fellow believer sinning is we need to be praying for them. Pray first. Refer back to the very beginning of this little section here where it said, where we talked about having confidence in our prayers. Be confident when we pray for a fellow believer that is struggling with sin. Be confident in that. Be not afraid to ask God to help them overcome a sin that they may be struggling with. So now it comes to the part where, I'm not going to lie, it took me a long time to study and look through this little section here where it talks about the sin that leads to death versus the sin that does not lead to death. What is it? A rabbit trailed for hours looking for different things. When it kind of hit me to just look back through John's letter, what has he said throughout over and over again that he said in verse 13 already? I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. It's because of Jesus that we are saved from our sin. It's because of Jesus we have eternal life. John tells us that in verse 13. And I believe that what John is saying here, that it is, this is what leads to death. This is the sin that will ultimately lead to death. It's to deny Jesus, deny that Jesus is God's Son, which means to deny God and the gospel, and to call God a liar. To not believe in the gospel is to denounce that Jesus is God's Son and blasphemy to God. So when John says, I'm not saying that he should pray about that, at the end of here in verse 16, he's not saying that we shouldn't be praying for those people. I think what he's saying is that we need to be praying differently for believers versus non-believers. They should look differently. For a fellow believer, we need to be praying that they can overcome sin, that they are able to repent and move forward, understanding that Jesus has saved them, has washed of their sins. Versus the non-believer, that we need to ask for repentance, that they turn their life around, find God, find Jesus within the gospel. They need to find truth in our Lord and Savior. So this brings me to my second application for you guys. which is allow God to guide you in prayer for the believer and for the non-believer. Just allow him just to take over. And when you pray for specific people, look back at the word and what it says to do, how to pray for that person. Be confident in your prayers. Let's continue here in verse 18 through 19. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not sin, but the one who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. See, John is not preaching here and teaching on the possibility of sinless perfection, where it says, we know that everyone who's been born of God does not sin. This is just a translation for the CSB. Other translations like the ESV or the original Greek would have said, we know that everyone who's been born of God does not continually sin, does not habitually sin, live a lifestyle that is settled in continual sin. It's not saying that we can be perfect, but we should strive to be. We should strive to, if there's sin in our life, to not let it continue over and over to where we eventually just live in that sin. Because you see, it says here that Jesus protects us from the evil one because we are born of him. Another translation thing here, it says that the evil one does not touch him. What it should say, and what it originally would have said, was the evil one does not latch on, does not attach himself to. To be born of God means that we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit in our heart, which means the devil cannot grasp onto us because we are saved because of Jesus. It does not mean that he cannot tempt us, but he cannot latch onto our lives to where we live in continual sin and we are of the evil one because we are of this earth and of the world. So let's reread verse 18 as it should be said here. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not continue to sin, does not habitually sin, but the one who is born of God